We'll be in chapter 7 of John. And this is a great text of Jesus giving an invitation to who he is right from the temple itself. And we'll get into that here in just a moment. But listen to what he says. Now, it's the eighth day of a seven-day feast. By the way, the eighth day was a celebration of those 7 days. And so here's Jesus on the last day. Let's begin in chapter 7, verse 37. John chapter 7, verse 37. He says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood. Now, he had been sitting in teaching position. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly, this is the prophet. Verse 41. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Notice verse 42, especially as we're entering into the Christmas season. He said, has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was? It's interesting. If they answered their own questions with the scriptures, they would have one conclusion, that Jesus is the Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And God, we pray this morning that you would open our hearts to understand it. And Lord, that you would just draw us ever so close to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, water is a powerful thing. I used to have a fifth-wheel travel trailer, and when I was working out of state, I was staying in a KOA campground in Kansas, and I had the canopy rolled out, and you that have travel trailers know what I'm talking about. You can pull that canopy out, and you have an adjustable aluminum pieces that hold that canopy up, and I had left it out while I went to work that day. Well, a real hard rain came, and it filled the top of that canopy like this to where those poles were bowing. And so I got back, and of course, a lot of other workers and different people that were staying in the KOA was back. Well, they all had their canopies down. I'm the only idiot that left my canopy out. And so we're all standing around, and we're trying to figure out how to get this canopy down without tearing everything up. Well, you know how heavy water is. And the poles are bowing, and my first thought was I'll sneak up and I'll hit that little lever, but I couldn't do that on both sides at the same time, and I'll make that thing fall a little bit and let it drain. Then I had a wonderful idea, and a guy warned me before I did it, and I thought, well, I don't think that'll happen. And so I got my pocket knife, and I decided to get underneath that thing right in the middle where that water was and just put a little hole in there and let it start draining out. So I get underneath that thing, and as soon as I stick a hole in it, it rips all the way across. And what felt like Niagara Falls came down on my head, plus the canopy and everything else with it. It was not a very safe position to be in. And they managed to get the canopy back up, and I was drenched, and I learned a lesson about water. It's a very powerful force. And so Jesus, oftentimes in the Bible, in fact, if you remember a few weeks ago, we had a message about the water flowing from God's house out of Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 12. If you read the Bible, you'll find that there is a theme throughout the scriptures concerning water, and Jesus himself literally is the water of life, and also the Word of God is pictured as water, the cleansing water of the Word of God. And so look back at your scriptures again. Let's start on verse 37. And the first thing I want us to see is what Christ invites us to. Christ invites us to thirst. Thirst, this is God's way of drawing us to himself. You know, it's interesting that the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has made everything in his own time. And then he also threw in there this. He said he has put eternity in their hearts. God has put in the human heart eternity that we might thirst for him. You know, thirst is a good thing. If we didn't get thirsty, we wouldn't hydrate. So we need to thirst. Look at verse 37. He says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now, for you and I, that may not have as much weight as it did for those that heard him in the temple. Now, I want you to understand the scene by which Jesus says this. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. There's literally thousands and thousands of people that are in Jerusalem. Everybody is gathered in the temple. They've had 7 days of feast. This is the eighth day. By the way, the eighth day was considered, it was a convocation day, and it was a day of jubilation. It was a day of celebration. It's one of the most exciting things that you could do. Everybody wanted to be here for the eighth day. I mean, it was happy times in Jerusalem. And so here's these people. I mean, it's just shoulder to shoulder of people in the temple, and Jesus is in there, and he's been teaching. Now, you got to also know that in that temple, the Sanhedrin has sent some soldiers over there to arrest Jesus and to bring him back to them because they wanted to accuse him of something and have him arrested and stop his voice. And so the soldiers are in there, but they're listening too. And something dynamic happens in their heart that we learn about later is that Jesus is speaking with authority and wisdom. And even these soldiers say he speaks of a man having authority. You know why they said that? Because their own hearts were being gripped. Just as Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has placed eternity in our hearts that we might thirst for him. Our souls thirst for Jesus. And did you know it's his way of drawing us to himself? You know, there's something that took place as well in the temple. Every day at the beginning of the ceremonies, the priest would take a gold vessel. And he would go to the Pool of Siloam. Now, you got to remember how the Pool of Siloam is supplied by water, fresh water, out from under the Temple Mount, through the mountain. This fresh water drains into that pool. You remember the story of the Pool of Siloam. And the priest would go down there and they would fill that golden vessel with water. And then they would ceremonial, in great awe and respect, bring that water back into the temple. And then they would pour that water over the altar. Now, that was a picture from Exodus, where when Israel was in the wilderness, remember, they began to thirst. They didn't have anything to drink. And God was going to show them a picture of the future coming Messiah. We know this from the New Testament. And so the people began to complain to Moses. And Moses says, why are you testing God? In other words, God will provide for you. Why are you testing him? And they were just very thirsty in that wilderness. And remember what God told Moses to do? He said, Moses, you take that staff, that same one you held up and it parted the waters. You take that staff and I need you to go and strike the rock. And when Moses struck that rock, remember what happened? Miraculously, water, fresh water began to flow out of that rock and they were able to drink for days and days out of that fresh water that flowed. Now the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, that rock was Christ. And you see, he had to strike it with the rod. And it had to be that rod that God chose. And the Bible says that Jesus was smitten. He was smitten at Calvary. He was smote at the cross. And he was smitten for you and I. And there, ever since the resurrection and then the Spirit coming at Pentecost, the rivers of living water have not quit flowing. That's the picture we see in Ezekiel chapter 47. And so that's what Jesus has done for you and I. But he says that you've got to thirst. The Bible says in Psalms 42:1, now you got to remember the Jews understood what Jesus was saying. The Bible says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, look how he applies this to his own heart. He says, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. You know, I think that one of the problems we have is we end up with dehydrated hearts. You see, we come to Jesus and we drink of that water of life. We receive him by faith and then we quit drinking. We quit drinking the water. We come to it and we start depending on yesterday's water. Well, I'll tell you, try that in the physical realm. Depending on yesterday's water or last week's water. Say, oh, I don't need to drink anything this week. I drank the whole pitcher of water last week. Well, that's not going to do you any good this week. And we end up with dehydrated hearts. And when we end up with a dehydrated heart, it shows up in the way that we act. Did you know if you just quit drinking water by itself or not get any water intake, your skin will start to get clammy? Your eyes may go to fluttering and stuff. You may get dizzy. Let's just take it all the way. You might pass out. I mean, you got to have water. And so what happens? You get thirsty. Thirsty is a God-given warning bell. I think it's because we're just like sheep. We're too dumb to drink water unless we got thirsty. So God had to make us get thirsty so that we would know to stay hydrated. That's what he's saying. Listen, he's here and he's introducing himself as the water, just as he did with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. And he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And that leads us to our second point. The second word that is a key word in our text is come. We approach Christ in faith. Now listen to this. We approach Christ in faith the same way we would in person. We do it by faith the same way we would in person. You've got to want to come to Christ. I heard a funny story about a cowboy years ago that was in California, and he had walked out of a saloon. And he had drank too much, and there were some guys standing out there in the old dusty, dirty street. And he had a six gun on his side, and he pulled that gun out, and he said to the first person he saw, do you know how to dance? And the guy said, no, I don't. And he said, well, you're going to learn. He began to shoot around his feet, and the guy danced around. Well, about that time, an old mountaineer on a donkey come riding up, and he got off of his donkey, and the man looked at the old mountaineer and said, do you know how to dance? And the mountaineer said, no, I don't reckon I do. And he began to shoot around his feet, and the mountaineer danced a little bit. Well, directly the mountaineer went back to his donkey, reached in the saddlebag, pulled out a sawed-off double-barrel shotgun, had barrels that big around, and he pointed it over there, and the drunk cowboy looked up and down that shotgun, and mountaineer said, have you ever kissed a donkey? Drunk cowboy says, no, I haven't, but I've always wanted to. You see, we got to want to. He needed a little motivation, and that's what Jesus does. He brings motivation. Now, I can just see Jesus. Here he is. He's been teaching away. I mean, they're listening to his words. You can't hear a pin drop. It's so quiet in the temple. And it's like an eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles like they've never seen in their whole life. And then Jesus does something that is so different than any rabbi had ever done. Jesus stood up. Scholars believe that there was a platform that he went and stood up on the platform so that all could hear him. And when the Bible says out in verse 37 that he cried out, even the Greek does not miss this. It was a loud cry that he cried out when he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Remember what John chapter 5 verse 40 says? But you were not willing to come to me that you might have life. You remember what Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 says? He says, come to me all ye who are weary and heavy laden. The scriptures is inundated with an invitation to come to Christ. And we come to Christ in faith the same way that they had to come to him in person and then place their faith in Jesus Christ for who he said he was. And so that's the picture. He says, you've got to come to me. You've got to want me. Now, here's an important thought concerning coming to Christ. Many of us get saved, and we have that assurance in our heart, and we say, I know I'm saved, but we quit drinking of the Lord. We quit taking in the things of God. And when we do, our heart is dehydrated, and then the invitation starts ringing again. Not an invitation for salvation, but an invitation that you've quit swallowing. Interesting word. Look at verse 37. In the New King James Version, the last word is drink. That word is not a one-time word. It's used in the sense of continual swallowing. He's saying, you've got to come to me and drink. It's got to be a continual swallowing. Not that you'll lose your salvation. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, but that you'll continue to be living for me and continue to have that joy that I have fulfilled in you. Now, some people are Christians and they say, but I'm not happy. And I'm worried about everything in the world that I see. And circumstances are overwhelming me. And I'm just filled with fear. I'm filled with terror. And I'm filled with a hopelessness. But I know that I'm a Christian. I know that I've given my heart to Jesus. I'll tell you what's happened is the rivers of living water are not flowing out of your belly are your inward man. They've quit flowing. You see, the water has saved you positionally, but the water must continue to flow to affect others, so we have to come to Him. That's why it's important that we read our Bibles. It's the same picture. Look at the next verse. He says, "He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart, or inner man, will flow rivers of living water." Now, I want you to think about something for a minute. Have you ever been through, I know I've been through, and we've even done it as a church, witness training courses? And I mean, there's all kinds of different, and they're all good, but there's all kinds of different tools to equip you for witnessing. But can I give you the greatest tool there is for witnessing? You say, "I just need some more tools, or I'm just not witnessing the way that I did at one time." Let me give you the tool for that. Fall back in love with Jesus Christ. Get back in His Word. Get back in prayer. Get back in church. Fall back in love with Jesus. You won't have to worry about how to witness. You'll be a living witness. It'll just be a part of who you are. It'll just come out automatically. And listen, it'll come out with love. And it'll come out with grace. Why? Because your passion for the Lord has caused you to just overflow like rivers of living water. And you know what a river does? When we were in the Amazon, the one thing that caught my attention was the dirty water. The Amazon basin, the waters, you cannot see through them. They're as brown as this carpet. And it's like, man, and these folks live off the land out here. And they bathe in this water. It was just brown. And we began to walk up into the jungle, and I noticed even the water puddles were just muddy. And I'm thinking, where are they getting fresh water? And we get to this one lady's house, and she has this blue barrel that she's run a pipe up the side of the mountain. She's tapped into where there's a spring, a natural spring coming out of the rocks of the mountain. And she's got her a little homemade funnel thing, and that water is draining through that pipe into her house, literally right through the wall, through a 3/4-inch pipe, right into her house, and running right into a blue tub, big plastic tub, out of that blue tub into another tub, and it never quits running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and overflows the second tub and goes between the slats in her floor. Man, I want to tell you, I wanted to hang out at her house. If I get real, real thirsty and my water bottle ceases to exist, that water looks good. It was clear. It's the only clear water I saw besides what I drank out of a water bottle. You see, God provides something that is good. You can't just drink anything. You've got to drink what He provided. If you just drink anything, now I don't tell you, we don't walk around. I mean, we might be thirsty and it might start raining before this service is over. If you walk outside and you see the water coming through the culvert and it's running down that hill, you're not going to take your hand and catch some of that dirty parking lot water that we're walking through and gum wrappers and Coke cans are washed in there with it. You're not going to take that and say, good drink of water. I tell you, that's what happens to us spiritually. We start drinking religion. It's not good water. We start drinking things that are not of God. It's not good water. We start filling our hearts with the trash and the mess that's on these movies and television. It's not very good water. What does it do? All of a sudden, before you know it, your heart feels a million miles away from God. Why? Because we're not drinking from the clear source of Jesus Himself and His Word. You know, the third point, and this is really important. Drink from the safe well. You know what's interesting? Whenever those priests would bring those golden vessels of water from the Pool of Siloam into the temple, they would begin to sing what you and I read in Isaiah chapter 12. You ought to, when you get time, read the whole chapter of Isaiah 12. You see, Jesus, what He's doing is He's applying Isaiah 12 directly to Himself. What He's doing is He's showing that He is the wells of salvation. God didn't dig or drill any other wells. There's only one well that God drilled and He put water in for eternal life, and that's His Son, Jesus. You can't find from Genesis to Revelation another well that's been dug by God for salvation. And He says we are to drink from the wells of salvation. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, "Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." They were singing this song. I can just see it. The priest is coming in. Jesus sees it. Jesus sees the application of himself, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that he is the Savior, that he is God. And he sees him delivering that water just like they've done for years and years. And he sees them go over there and dump it. And he hears the people as they're just crying out in song. And you can probably barely hear yourself think they're crying out in song. So loud with Isaiah 12. The song ends. And whenever the song ends, Jesus rises to his feet. And then Jesus says the words that we just read in John chapter 7. And he says, if you'll drink of me, as the scripture has said, they've just sung it, out of his heart, in other words, your heart, will flow rivers of living water. Look at verse 39. He says, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit. Now we know that those who believed in him didn't receive the Spirit until Pentecost. Because Jesus, whenever he left this earth, and he resurrected from the grave, and then later he left and he ascended in Acts chapter 1. He ascended to heaven. And the Bible says, wait for me up here. And for 10 days they stayed in the upper room, his disciples. And I mean, they're praying and they're wondering, when's he going to come? What's going to happen? And you can read about it in Acts chapter 2. Remember what happened? The Spirit came. And when the Spirit came, rivers of living water have been flowing ever since in every heart that's ever believed. Now here's the question that I have for you today, and the question I have for me as well. What's the water doing? Is it bubbling up, or can you find the water? Is the water overflowing in your life? Or do you feel stale and stagnant? You feel like a pipe that hadn't had any water run through it in years? An old rusty pipe? You see, we got to think about what our vessels are doing. I can remember when I was a kid, Daddy, we used to have this before the plastic gas cans. Y'all remember those metal gas cans? And we had an old metal gas can, and that thing was all rusty and stuff. And if you didn't wash it out really, really good, whatever you poured that nice new gasoline into, you was going to damage the engine. Well, see, God has given us vessels by which his water is to flow through. Your life is a vessel. The Bible says, do you not know that you belong to the Holy Spirit? He says that you are the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 6:19. He says you're a temple. He says you're the one that's flowing the water now. I've come to dwell in your heart. And he takes all of this good stuff and he's poured it into our heart and he wants it to overflow in our lives. But the problem is when we quit reading the Bible and we quit praying and we quit going to church and we quit doing the things that God has commanded us to do, let me tell you what happens. Rust sets in. Our passions begin to change. Now we're passionate about everything but God, and rust begins to develop. And then we've got to go get cleaned up. We've got to wash the can out. That's what 1 John 1:9 is all about. We've got to pour some of the Word of God back into our heart, and we've got to swish it around, and we've got to dump it out in confession of our sins, and we've got to ask the Lord to renew a spirit within me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And we've got to get cleaned up. And then when we get cleaned up, we're proud because we feel like we're clean again. That's what the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, it's interesting. Max Lucado, speaking on these verses, put together an acrostic for what that water is like in Jesus Christ and what kind of well it is. And this is what he says, and it's on your outline, 4 spiritual fluids of hydration. And he uses the acrostic of well, and the W is God's work. Says you got to be involved in God's work. The E is God's energy. That's Jesus living through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's energy. The first L is his lordship. And then the second L is his love. You know, Billy Graham preached his last crusade in 2005 in New York. And it was a historic time because he had preached crusades there before. And he preached it from Flushing Meadows, Corona Park, in his elder years. And at the end of the week, his last message, after folks had come down to receive Christ, he shared with them that there was something that they would need to do. He said, you can't just stop at salvation. You've got to do more. You can't just remain right here at salvation. You've got to do something now that you've received Christ. And listen to his 4. And this is what he said, and I quote. He says, first of all, read your Bible every day. He said, second, you need to pray. He said, pray like talking to a trusted friend. He said, thirdly, the third thing is go to church. Be sure you get into a church where Christ is proclaimed. And he said, fourthly, witness for Christ by your words and the smile on your face. He said, help them to know that you have been changed and you are different because of Christ. I think that's the closing question for today. Are you seeing the change because of Christ? Do you feel like you're rusty and reverting back? Get cleaned up. Get back in the Word. Get back in prayer. You say God loves you and He desires you. He loves you more than anything in this world. You say, well, I'm just me. I'm just little old me. Well, I'm just little old me too. I know how you feel. But I want to tell you, God loves me and God loves you. And God is dying for you to rehydrate in His Word. Would you do it this week? Would you do it today? Maybe you need to confess some sins. Would you do it today? Whatever God has put on your heart, do business with the Lord this morning while there's time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, that's our desire, Lord, is that we'll respond to that simple truth of thirsting. That, Father, that we won't just acknowledge the thirst, but, Lord, that we'll put feet to it and that we'll come to the Savior and that we'll begin to take of Him. Father, that we will drink from the water of your word, from that clean cistern that you have provided. Father, we pray for each and every heart that is in here this morning. You know the condition and the circumstances of each person that is here today. For some of you, this could be the worst day of your entire life. You could have things going on in your home and your family that none of us could possibly understand. But I want you to know that today, Jesus Christ has provided you with relief. He has provided you with help. What are you drinking from? Would you turn back to Jesus? Would you let him give you the peace that you so desire? You may be in here this morning and you know the true condition of your heart. And you know that it's not right with God. You see, it's not about what we think or I think or anybody else thinks. It's about what does the Lord think. Would you get it right today? Or maybe you're in here this morning and it's something altogether different. Maybe God has pressed upon your heart that this is the church that He would have you identify with. Would you do it today? Or maybe you're in here this morning and you say, you know what, I've never even drank of Jesus the first time. But I'm thirsty, and that's why I'm here this morning. Because my heart is thirsty, and I'm calling upon the Lord to show me the truth. Jesus is the truth. It's interesting that Buddha said at one time that before his death, that he was still searching for truth. And Jesus said and declared boldly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, Jesus died for your sins, and you can accept Him right where you sit right now this morning. But you've got to come to Him by faith just as you would in person. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and if you'll pray that prayer believing in your heart and repenting of your sins, He'll save you right now, right where you are today, this morning. Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. God, I admit that I'm a sinner. God, I admit that I'm thirsty for truth. I'm thirsty for salvation. And Lord Jesus, I don't understand it all, but I believe that you're God. And I believe that you hear my prayer right now. And I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of all of my sins. Come into my heart and change me. Give me that new birth that your word speaks of. Lord, I cast my all at your feet. Lord, save me. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. From the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, Jesus is faithful to save.